Everyone, it is a winning Wednesday. I can't believe it's Wednesday already. I feel like we just got off of Monday motivation, but tonight we are going to be talking about respiratory medications. The class that we will be looking at specifically is a very important one. Respiratory medications for you on tonight. Who's ready to pass NCLEX? Who is ready to have their nursing license? Because I know that somebody in this class today will get their nursing license. Hi, if it's your first time joining me, my name is Professor Regina MSNRN. I'm the number one NCLEX instructor on this planet because I have nursing students just like you all over the world. And we are studying out of Quick Facts. You guys know that this is the book every nursing student should have. Love, love, love Quick Facts is part of my full NCLEX review. So you can get this topic out of Quick Facts. Or if you are not ready to study for NCLEX just yet, but you're still in nursing school, we also have the sister book, Quick Facts for Nursing School, that can be utilized. But everything that I'm doing tonight is for you to understand that there is a plan, there's a process, and I have the way for you to get your nursing license even better than what I'm doing here. And that is in my full NCLEX review. I call it the V2, the Virtual Trainer 2 for Next Gen NCLEX. And so that is the work that I have prepared. I've put everything in there to help you. Now, we're going to talk about respiratory agents, which I'm really excited about because this is a medication that, of course, is life-saving. And you got to know the safety important components around it. But first, before I get into all of the classes and medications and the things that we need to know, guess what? We talk about Winning Wednesday. I have a Winning Wednesday live for you. So everybody say hello to
everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
So tell us who you are and what's your testimony?
This is my quick facts, and I love that with my V2. So I'm going to tell you, and you know, it's a good thing, Regina, you know, always I love. It's a Monday motivation is the end part. Mostly, you know, in the beginning. Yes. And you said all the time, this content is the most important content over this content.
Yes.
And I was motivated and see, my book is full with the many, many Bible verses. And, and you know, and my page is full with the, if you
beautiful.
See, and in the end,
come on, that's what it's supposed God, to be.
God spoke me through this journey, and I'm so, so blessed. I just want to tell you, I am repeater. I did last year, and I spent thousands and thousands of money. And my last exam was 30th June, 2023. And I was praying to God that God show me the right way. Okay. And my exam was scheduled, and I suddenly saw your video, and I turn on, and then I stop because I saw your video is so long, and I do not have time to see because my exam is very near. Mm. And I went to exam, and I failed. Mm. And then after that, but when I went to exam, I realized that I failed because I did not know anything. Mm. And after that, in September, I thought that I start to again. And then a couple of my friends told me that you have to choose the Archer. Oh. Archer has a very quick fact and all these things. But I was keeping prayer. And God showed me that I will choose Remar by His grace. Because I asked God, this time is my last time. I don't want to take any more chance. Amen. So show me the right person. I don't want to make a mistake, which I did earlier. And then I chose Remar in September, and I scheduled my exam in 6th of December. But unfortunately, my passport was expired, and I was so depressed because I already scheduled and was ready to give exam. but I did not get my passport. And then I got my passport in end of February. And then again, I took your renewal. But honestly speaking, I just took the study 6 weeks in the in September to the December. And this time I just want to keep, okay, if I want to be, you know, listen some video on it and just listen it. And but I did not use really, I'm telling you the truth. And then I booked my exam on 8th of April. And this time you can't believe what? How enemies, you know, it's very active. Every time it's my mind, no, I will go to, I forward my exam, I forward my exam. Then I pray and I fast. And then God give me a strength to do that. No, this is the day the Lord has made. And I pray and I said, God, this is my day of graduation. This is the day of my victory. I will go and I will come back with my license. And do you remember one Monday morning you said that you give this responsibility to God? So invite to God, and I really inviting God and say, God, yes, you are responsible for my this journey. I'm not, and I'm really happy that I did, only by the grace of God, and for your only because of you. You know, my husband, my children loves you, and they ask, oh. The every time when I on your video, I say, oh, mom, are you listening? You're Professor Regina. I said, yes. I'm listening. I'm so glad. And thank you for Pastor Mark. I always moved and encouraged his prayer. Really amazing. And, you know, the very big testimony I want to give this planet. My computer was shut off at 90 questions. But it's not shut down by itself. It's like a technical problem. And the guy was thinking that my system is shut down by itself. And I just called him, he came and he checked the system and he restart my system again. But when he restart my system again, you can't believe every question I got, the case studies, every question. And my time, I don't know where is gone. And I was not able to finish my exam. And 130, I did 130 questions and the time is over. And when I come out from the center, I was so worried. My husband called me and he asked me, oh girl, how's your exam? Mm-hmm. And I was crying because I thought according to their policy, I was not able to complete the exam. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't know what happened with me. Why I faced the lot of case studies every. But you know, I just came and I prayed to God. I gave him in his hand and God spoke to me, just have a faith.
Yes.
And you know, after 2 days, when I checked my quick results, and I was passed. And you know, it's the God words be a fulfill in my life. He said, no ear has heard, no eyes has seen. I will do it in your life.
Yes.
And I'm so, so blessed.
Oh,
and
girl.
But you know, I do not, my husband said to me, you know what? I have a difference now and the before. Last time when you came out from the center, you complained about the content. This time you came out, you did not complain about the content. You just said that I was not able to complete it. Mm-hmm. But you see, God is able to do. You will pass. I know you will pass. Mm-hmm. And only I did. And I did not do any single question. Only the study. Not the question bank. No. Nothing.
Wow. No.
I did not do.
What an unbelievable testimony.
Yes.
This is the greatest thing I have heard today. I'm telling you, I'm just in awe of what God has done for you. And you being here, and I want everybody to see, look at this face. This is the face of joy. This is the face of inner joy.
Yes.
Inner joy. And I want you all to aspire to be like Nurse Virginia. She has her RN license and she did in it. And let me be clear, it was not handed to her. She had to work for it. She had to wait for it. You said you, even during the process, you invested thousands of dollars.
Yeah, that's true. That's
into
true.
This process.
Yes.
You don't do that unless you can understand the value of what you're going after.
Yes.
And so I'm so proud of you, because at any of the moments when things got tough, you could have given up. You could be in a totally different place right now.
Yes.
But you are right here in God's timing, giving your testimony in front of hundreds of people that God did provide all you needed, all you needed. He had been taking care of you all this time anyways. Yes. And now you are at the end of this part of your journey, but you're starting a new one.
Yes.
And that same God is following you into your new land, into a new land that you will also have dominion over. So I am just
I'm already in Canada, but originally I'm from Pakistan.
Yeah. International nurses.
Right? Yes, I'm international nurse. Yeah.
Okay. So
by the grace of God and your help, I did.
But yes, 100%. Talk to me about the waiting process for getting your paperwork and your passport. How did you keep yourself busy during that time?
It's like my passport was expired last year in August. And I don't know, but I believe that this is the God timing. My husband got his passport beyond his time. But for my passport, they said that they have some fingerprints problem and all these things. And they took like 6 months. But for my paperwork to get eligibility and all these things, almost it's done more than 3 to 4 months.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow. And then I was able to do the exam. And let's see that where God lead me now. I just put in my life in his hand where he wants to use me.
And yeah. I know that he has definitely a ministry for you.
Yes, I believe.
I know it. And so whoever it has the pleasure of being your patient, I know you will serve them with kindness and compassion and great wisdom, because you passed the NCLEX. So
yes.
I know you're a safe nurse. Yes. I'm just so thankful to see your face and have the pleasure of meeting you. We've been on we've had a long relationship, and I'm talking to a friend. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much that you allow me to come in this place, because I thought that before I went to exam, I commend that, Lord Jesus, I come into this place for testimony. And last Wednesday in morning, I got it, my testimony. And this Wednesday, I came here to give testimony, and my Jesus name will be glorified. Yeah, this is so good.
Don't make me cry. There are some moments that humble me so much to tears. And just hearing your words and your testimony is overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And so I'm humbled to be a part of your journey, and I wish you all the best. And I pray
Thank
that somebody
you.
That is watching you has hope.
Yes.
Somebody that's watching you has a renewed hope and thinking that they can face tomorrow because of your story. So thank you so much for your ministry. It starts now. Your nursing ministry started right now.
Yeah.
God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, man. Why do y'all do this to me? Why do y'all come on here and just take over the broadcast with faith? That's a faith walk. We've been talking about faith. The woman with the issue of blood, faith can move mountains. Now we got Nurse Virginia, RN, representing Pakistan, passport, all kind of issues, but just pray, just kept praying. Man, who's next? All right. somebody came in and said, did I miss the lecture? What's going on? You did not miss the lecture. We are going over, let's transition. We're going to respiratory medications from QuickFox. So what I wanted to do, respiratory medications is found on page 112. Now, there are several respiratory medications that you are responsible for. But tonight, I am only doing one of those medications. I'm going to do albuterol. We're going to start with albuterol because that is the medication that it... Let me start here. Respiratory medications and albuterol. So albuterol is what type of medication? Let's start there. Albuterol is what type of medication? What is it going to do for your patient? Okay. We're talking respiratory medications 100%. And we're transitioning out of our testimony, our miracles, because we do have miracles in this group. We just have miracles. And we just have to, sometimes we just got to transition if we can. If we need to go back to the miracles, then just let me know. But I'm going to just try to walk through it. So albuterol is a bronchodilator. This is very important because when we talk about respiratory conditions, there are two constrictive respiratory conditions that NCLEX loves to talk about. Yeah. All right. So the first one is going to be asthma. Asthma is definitely a constrictive breathing problem. All right. What is the other condition that NCLEX loves to talk about that albuterol is given for? These are the two that I would say you absolutely need to be familiar with because these are both emergent-like conditions. They can turn into emergencies very quickly. Yes, I see it on the screen. So asthma and COPD, those are the two. You talk about albuterol, you talk about adults, it's either asthma or COPD. Okay, so let's get into it now. So there are many types of respiratory agents or medications. So you have decongestants, expectorants, mucolytics, anti-asthma, and bronchodilators, right? You're responsible to be familiar with these class of medications. A lot of these are over the counter. So you know you can get them without a prescription at all. When you talk about a respiratory agent, it is primarily going to be to relieve a cough, which is, you know, it is going to be manifested in certain disorders such as asthma, COPD, even seasonal allergies can produce a cough. So when we give any of those medications, the idea is that we're maintaining a patent airway and a patient has normal, quiet breathing. Those are some of the goals. Patent airway for sure. So normal and quiet breathing in and out of the lungs reflects a patent airway. Also, no evidence of obstruction. Now, if there is a foreign body in the respiratory passage, that's something that these medications are not going to fix, right? But if there is no visible foreign material, then we're looking for these medications to either remove the constriction or remove the constriction or reduce inflammation. Okay. So the word patent, you know, I love my vocabulary. The word patent is a Latin word meaning to lay open. Now, nursing diagnoses that are going to come into play when we talk about airway patency or ineffective airway clearance, and these are the reasons why. So narrowing of the airways is due to inflammation or sputum production. Now, the reason why I'm going over this is because based on the cause, then we should be able to know medically what the doctor is going to prescribe. That's something that you have to be able to do for next-gen NCLEX. And you didn't have to do it as much for the When I was teaching in NCLEX prep in 2016 and 2015, I didn't have to teach it in this way, right? We were just talking about what a medication did. But now for next-gen NCLEX, I have to change my teaching to allowing you the ability to forecast. You have to be able to essentially tell the future, okay, in nursing. Nobody told you that, but that's what you're going to do. You're going to be future tellers, because if a patient has a respiratory condition due to inflammation, what type of medication are we going to give them? If a patient has a respiratory condition due to sputum production, what type of order is coming into the system? Right. And so that's what you're going to have to be able to do. Obstruction due to trauma, foreign body, or a tumor has to be removed a different way. And weakened respiratory muscles due to neurological disorders or head trauma also should be dealt with in a different way. Yes, Taran, you're right. Taran said, if we have inflammation, we got to give a steroid. We are. I think we're on page 112. I just want to make sure, so when I say it over and over again, I know what I'm talking about. Quick facts, page 112. Okay. All right. So we are specifically going to be going over the inhaled beta 2 agonist. Yes, inhaled beta 2 agonist. These are extremely important, because these are really popular. Inhaled beta 2 agonists can treat a problem that is short term or long term. And so when we talk about a beta 2 receptor, where are the beta 2 receptors found? You know, we have beta 1 and we have beta 2. So beta 1 is found on, these receptors are found on the what? Beta 1 is found where? Beta 2 is found where? Good stuff. Good pharmacology review right here. Somebody put it in the comments and I'll spotlight it. Yes. So beta 1 is found. That's not the comment I wanted to see. Can you put the comment? Okay. The comment I wanted to see, beta 1 is found, not the lungs. Yeah. Here we go. Here we go. Hold on. I'm looking for the perfect note. Here we go. Beta 1, heart. Okay. One is heart. Two, let me try to go back to it, is lungs. Good. Okay. So everybody that is watching here, beta 1 agonists are found on the heart, and beta 2 agonists are found on the receptors of the lungs. And so you can, good job, you can remember that beta 1 because you have one heart, and beta 2 because you have two lungs. Really great way for you to do, for you to remember. But the idea for the beta 2 agonists is that they attach to the receptors in the smooth muscles of the lungs. Now, let's go back to the name, because this is very important. So if we have an agonist, is it going to turn those receptors on or turn those receptors off? Tell me. And this is the power of knowledge. This is the power of content. We're just spending some time working on definitions. So if this is a beta 2 agonist, is it turning those receptors on or off? And I see comments that say it's turning it on. And I see comments that say, no, it's turning it off. But there can only be one correct answer. And that correct answer is an agonist is something that turns it on. Okay. Agonist is on. If something is a what? Antagonist, then that is turns it off. Okay. Did you get that? Somebody put that in the comments. Agonist means that it is going to attach to those receptor sites and turn them on. And then that's going to allow the smooth muscles to vasodilate, and the patient is going to get more airway. That is how that works, okay? That's how that works. And that's okay if we didn't know it right away. That's why we are, number one, coming to class, and that's why I like to start with a review. So I'm just not assuming that you all know what I'm talking about when I'm using these words, okay? We're gonna start like we're all on the same level, because we are. All right, so anyhow, we know now the inhaled beta 2 agonists are going to treat conditions like asthma and treat conditions like COPD because they are turning those smooth muscle receptors on and they are bronchodilating our patient, which is great. That's what we want. So there are two types of inhaled beta 2 agonists. There are the long acting beta agonists, and then there are the short acting beta agonists. So if you have a doctor or even another charge nurse, they might write the patients on LABA or SABA, and that is a long acting beta agonist and or short acting beta agonist. And we'll talk about the difference between those two. So the types here, and I hope you can see this, if we're talking about the short acting beta agonist, that one is albuterol. And every nurse needs to know this medication. You need to know this medication like nobody's business, because your patient is going to be on this. Your kids probably will have to take this. Your parents might have to take this. Albuterol is like a blanket that covers everything. Everything. Even you might not even know this, but albuterol is banned and running because even patients who don't have asthma, if they take inhaled albuterol, it can make you run faster. If you have to sprint and you want to be like faster, you want to have more oxygen to go, they say you could take albuterol. So it's very popular. You got to know it. The therapeutic effect of it is a quick bronchodilation. All right. Whereas you have the long acting beta 2 agonist, you have salmeterol or formoterol. Now these taral medications let you know exactly that they are beta 2 agonists. So anytime you see something that ends in taral, that is going to be, you know, an albuterol like medication. And I have here the adverse effects of both of these classes are going to be tachycardia, because you know albuterol can make your heart rate go up. So if you give a patient albuterol and you come back in an hour and they're tachy, that's something that you're going to want to, you know, you're going to want to have to let the doctor know, even though it's kind of expected, but it can be very dangerous to a person if they have a very quick sinus tachycardic change, right? It increases your blood sugar. It causes hyperglycemia. It reduces potassium. So the patient will leak potassium, hypokalemia. It can cause muscle tremors. I put here a cough because any kind of inhaled medication can cause your patient to have a cough. So we definitely want to watch coughs in our patients. There's another inhaled medication. The beclomethasone is also in Quickfax. I want you to make note of that as well. This medication is for like long-term control of a respiratory condition. And it is also used as an inhaled medication. You use a spacer with this one. There's some things about using spacers in Quickfax. And the adverse effect of this one is an overgrowth of yeast. So you have the candidiasis in the mouth. But yeah, so those are the difference between the short acting and the long acting. I would say these are the major players that you need to know for your NCLEX and how to use them. All right, good stuff. One more point about the long acting that I wanted to mention. So short acting is albuterol, pretty straightforward why it's used and how it's used. This is a point that you may have missed about a long-acting beta agonist if you learned about it in nursing school, is that the long-acting beta agonist, look at the arrow. Oh, no. Let me just read this. A bronchodilator. So I said this. They turn on beta 2 receptors, which open the airways, and they relax smooth muscles. The safety point about the long-acting medication is that the long-acting beta The long-acting beta 2 agonist is that it should not be given alone. Okay. When this medication is not paired with the corticosteroid, research finds that patients actually die. Okay. So if a patient's on a LABA, it should not be by itself. Very, very important. Okay. All right. It's time for NCLEX questions. Just like that. We're not waiting. I told you the important points. Now I'm going to try to present them to you all jumbled up in NCLEX questions and distractors. And I want to see if you know what you're supposed to know. So are you ready? If you're ready for these questions, put ready in the comments. And let's go. It's winning Wednesday, guys. It's winning Wednesday. If we get over this day, we are close to the weekend. Yes. Okay, you're ready. Here's the first question. Question number one is this. Our new registered nurse is assessing a client presenting with shortness of breath. The client reports a history of asthma. Which of the following medications should the nurse expect the client to take? Number one, guaifenesin. 2, salmeterol. 3, nasal drops. Or 4, camphor menthol. Very straightforward question. I'm warming you up, but I'm about to start cooking you. So I'm warming you up right now. I see I have a lot of 2s. And I'm not even going to hold you because 2 is the right answer. We are talking about a patient with shortness of breath and they have a history of one of our obstructive conditions, right? Asthma. So we'll be expecting the beta 2 agonist medication. And this is a long acting one. So the patient has a history of asthma. This all makes sense. Okay. Next question. Somebody said, don't cook us. Oh, I'm cooking. Let her cook. Here we go. A 50-year-old male with COPD is still having moderate airway obstruction despite using salmeterol every 12 hours as prescribed. Which of the following medications should the nurse anticipate to be paired with the current therapy? Number one, bronchodilator. 2, mast cell stabilizer. 3, anti-mucolytic. 4, anticholinergic. So, what do we have here? Oh, this is so good. I'm so glad that we are actually taking the time. I'm so glad that we are taking the time to go through this information together. This is very important for us to do. All right. Correct answer. Bronchodilator. Actually, you know what? This one actually should be the 4 anticholinergic. It's 4. Because the salmeterol is a bronchodilator. So my apologies, it's 4. It's the anticholinergic. Sorry about that. 4 is the right answer because we said that the salmeterol and the anticholinergic go together. They go together. All right, let me go back. Next question is this. All right. A nurse discharges a 28-year-old female with, okay, a 28-year-old female with a history of asthma attacks and provides health education about a corticosteroid inhaler. Okay. Which of the following assessments should the nurse instruct the client to immediately report? All right. Number one, difficulty of gaining weight. Two, fever. Three, painful bones. Four, hypoglycemia. All right. So this is a future predicting one. This is a future forecasting one. It says here, a nurse discharged 28-year-old female. They have a history of asthma attacks. Provides health education about a what kind of medication here? What are we talking about? So which one should the client immediately report? Number one, difficulty gaining weight. Two, fever. Three, painful bones. Four, hypoglycemia. All right, this is content question right here. Correct answer is going to be, this is a good one. Two, fever, 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 fever. So why is this fever? Because we are talking about a corticosteroid. And what do we know? Some people have fever. Corticosteroids, what do they do to the immune system? Okay, they weaken the immune system. You know that. You know that they do that. So we would definitely want our patient to report fevers, night sweats, all right? These are signs of infection. Enlarged lymph nodes are also signs of infection. Let me go back to the choices because I saw a lot of people pick hypoglycemia, but we know what do steroids do to the blood glucose levels, all right? Steroids increase the blood sugar. So that would not be something that we would expect. Also, painful bones. Some people pick painful bones, and steroids do cause, they can cause osteoporosis, but osteoporosis is not painful bones. Osteoporosis is weakened bones. So very, very, very little nuances though, little nuances that we got to be able to anticipate. Also, we have to be able to read, because I see some people are like, I was thinking it was this, or I thought it said this. So it's just in the details. But corticosteroids in general, if you know the major principles, that they are going to cause hyperglycemia, they're going to cause immunosuppression, they're going to cause hypokalemia, hypercalcemia, like those things are going to save you. If you know those things, you can apply them anywhere, okay? So, yeah, that's it. Let's do another one. These are good questions today. So, let me do another one. That was the answer to... Oh, okay, let me do this one. So, this one says, a nurse is caring for a client with COPD, okay? And they present with increased shortness of breath and wheezing. The client's O2 saturation is 84% on room air. The nurse administers albuterol via nebulization as prescribed. After 20 minutes, the client's oxygenation saturation has slightly increased at 85%. And the client reports no improvement in symptoms. Which of the following actions should the nurse take next? Number one, assess lung sounds and respiratory effort. Two, order a chest x-ray for further evaluation. Three, administer prescribed inhaled corticosteroid agent. Or four, increase oxygen therapy to 6 liters per minute. This is good. I'm being quiet. I'm allowing this case. This will be a great case study, actually. I'm allowing it to just simmer in. You got everything you need right here. Let me read it again. Let me read it again. I think somebody needs me to read this again. The nurse is caring for a client with COPD. They present with increased shortness of breath and wheezing. Okay. So that, y'all missed that part. Let me read it again. So a nurse is caring for a client with COPD. They're presenting with increased shortness of breath and wheezing. The client's O2 saturation is 84% on room air. The nurse administers, what medication have we been talking about? Albuterol. Gives albuterol via nebulization as prescribed. Now, 84% on room air. After 20 minutes, what happens? The client's saturation, it just raises to 85%. And the patient reports no improvement in symptoms. Which of the following actions should the nurse take? What could they do next? Okay. Number one, what are they doing next? Are they assessing lung sounds and respiratory effort? Two, ordering a chest x-ray for further evaluation. Three, administer prescribed inhaled corticosteroid agent. Or four, increase oxygen therapy to 6 liters per minute. What's the safest thing to do? And I see you guys, you're like tussling it out in the comments. I love it. These questions are tough, but there is one that is right. And that answer is, did you get it? It is number three. It's number three. Give the inhaled corticosteroid agent, administer the corticosteroid agent. Let's go back to it. Let's go through it. Why is it not number one? Because a lot of y'all picked number one until I read it again. So number one says, when a patient with COPD presents with shortness of breath and wheezing, O2 saturation is 85% after 20 minutes. All right. And the patient tells you nothing is happening. Okay. I still feel bad. Is an assessment already done here? Yes, the assessment is done. There's no more assessments. You would look crazy to try to assess this patient's lung sounds right now. How unsafe are you delaying care? Okay. And so I know we talk, and there are times when it is the nursing process. And I'm like, nursing process. But not when you got all this assessment. Okay. No more assessment. We're past that. And so you have to be able to see it. Because the client here, you have enough. Remember, NCLEX has to give you the answer in the stem. You have the numbers here. You have that medication was given here. You have the patient's condition here. So you don't need to assess the patient anymore. The same thing is with number two. Two is also an assessment question. Okay? It's an assessment. Getting x-rays for further evaluation, okay? Not at all right now. So many people pick number four, forgetting the safety point that you cannot give a patient with COP. This was a really great trap. Increase the oxygen. That's what somebody who hasn't studied would do, okay? Somebody who has not studied is going to go for this one because it makes sense. It seems like it's common sense, but you can't do that because what type of patient do we have? This is COPD. And what do we know about it? COPD patients cannot tolerate highly oxygenated environments because their respiratory drive is based on a certain amount of what? Carbon dioxide. And so they have to have it or they literally will not have a respiratory drive. Yes. So how many people did I get in that trap? Oh, I got a lot of people today in number four, right? The correct answer is going to be, if the bronchodilator is not effective, then maybe our issue that we need to tackle is inflammation. We're talking about COPD. So if we can't bronchodilate the patient, then we give the steroid, which is going to address inflammation. And that's what would be the correct answer. That was a good one. That was a good one. Okay. We're cooking. Somebody said, you ain't give me, somebody said, oh yeah, I did. All right. One more opportunity. Are y'all ready? Okay. Are y'all ready? I got one more question. You know, we do five questions, five, and then we call it a day. So here's my fifth question. It is critical thinking. Let's see how you do. All right. Number five says this: a client with respiratory distress is prescribed a bronchodilator and a steroid, but neither are providing relief. What should the nurse do next? Number one, administer a higher dose of bronchodilator and steroid. Two, notify the healthcare provider immediately. Three, administer oxygen therapy via nasal cannula. Four, assess for any potential drug interactions between the bronchodilator and the steroid. What are we going to do? I see twos, threes, and I see some fours, which are all great options, twos, threes, and fours. Those would be the one. I would definitely weed out one, because I already know as a nurse, I cannot give more than what is prescribed. Can't do that. But these other three I could do on my own. I could do them if I wanted to. So what is the best one? What should the nurse do next? This is good. What should the nurse do next? Two, three, or four. Okay. My dramatic pause is over. This is what you would do in this situation. Correct answer is two. You got to call the doctor. All right. You have to call the doctor immediately, because when a client does not respond to bronchodilators and steroids together, then we might be in for real trouble, okay? And you need to know, what's the next move? What are we going to do, all right? A lot of people pick number three, and I know why you pick number three, because of course, why wouldn't you put oxygen on a patient? That's something that we should definitely do. We can do that before we leave the room, right? However, this is not the priority, okay? The priority is calling the doctor, because honestly, there is no, I'm cooking. I told you I was cooking. there is no guarantee that oxygen via nasal cannula is going to be effective for a patient that's already been given a bronchodilator. If you've been given a bronchodilator and a steroid and you are in respiratory distress, nothing coming out of a nasal cannula is going to do it for you. And so if you prioritize that oxygen via a nasal cannula, then that means that there's a possibility that you could be the kind of nurse that would say to yourself, I'm gonna put this oxygen on the patient and I'm gonna come back and check on them in a little bit. I'm gonna give you oxygen and then I'm going to go do something else and come back and check on you. Oh man. Hi, Nurse Tan says, hello, Professor Regina. I would like to thank you for helping me pass my NCLEX, which I took on March 29th. It was indeed a sweet victory for me, since I'm a repeat test taker at over 50 years. Amazing. I love it. Praise God. Praise God for this testimony. You got a new life. You hit the reset. I love it. You hit the reset button now that you have your license, a sweet victory indeed. And so what I wanted you to see today is that the understanding of being a safe nurse is multidimensional. Okay, it's multidimensional. It you have to be able to flow with this test, because when you sit down, you're going to flow. You're going to get one question about this and the next question about that, right? And so the only way that you can swim in deep waters is if you've had training, period. And NCLEX is deep. It's a deep exam. It's a deep exam. You might get 120 questions, right? And they're not going to be gimme questions. They're going to be tough questions like this. They're going to have you coming out. What do most of us do when we come out and take NCLEX, whether we pass it or we fail it? What do you do when you get into the car? You cry. You cry because you have never been so, you have never been so interrogated. You know, you have never been so vulnerable. And so whether you pass or fail, you're crying. You're crying because that's too personal. But you're standing before the judge of your career, and you are being interrogated as to what you have been doing with your time. And that $200 that you paid out of your pocket is hanging in the balance. And all of that money that you have spent preparing is hanging in the balance of, am I going to have to repeat this cycle or not? And it's true. People know in the exam, and I got a lot of slack for saying this, and some girls went on my TikTok and went on my Instagram, and they like, they talked about me like a dog, because I said that when you are taking the NCLEX exam, you know if you're not going to pass it. You know if nothing you see on there, you recognize. You have no idea what you're being asked. People know. You know. And so I want us to go in with as much realistic expectations as possible. And I think people were upset because they said, oh, don't tell people that, because when they're taking the exam, they don't need to be thinking about whether they passed or they failed or not. But that's the truth. The truth is, if you are not evaluating yourself during the study process, you will surely be doing it during your exam process. And you have to be able to say, now, today, I need to do better. Or now, today, I'm doing good. I'm doing good, right? Because when you're taking that NCLEX, whatever you practice is what you do best. And so if you have not been studying, you're going to be in front of that exam like, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't even know why I came here. I could have went and got my nails done today, because I know I'm not getting this stuff right. And so, you know, people, sometimes they get offended when truth is presented, because that is the truth. You know, at question 15, whether you're going to pass or fail the test, because it's hard. It's a hard test. But at the end of the day, the best thing that you can do for yourself is to know the content, So what we did tonight was an example of how many layers it is in nursing. And so if you followed me in terms of this was the question, but this is the right answer, even if you got the question wrong, if you are now able to understand why the right answer is the right answer, that's a win. And that's you making the best of your time now. That's what it is. And so I'm really proud of you for coming to class. It's a Wednesday. You could have been doing anything, but you set an alarm. You remembered the time. You remembered the day. You showed up. 1,000 people were just like, nah, this is important to me. this is really, really important to me. And so now that you have showed up, I hope now that you can restore all the things that we have learned tonight. Okay. And that's the beauty of this process. You won't be on this journey long. I know I won't be with you for a long time. And that's why I really cherish today, because some of you are going to pass NCLEX and you won't be coming to class anymore. And I'll be here with another generation. And that'll be just as fun. But our time here is short. So I want you to just do what you have to do for this season. This is truly a season. You won't be here long. And so just commit to it, okay? Because it'll make a difference. It'll make a big difference. We have class again on Monday, noon Eastern time. So 12 p.m. Eastern time is our next class that we will be going over. And as always, I like to go over the things here, because in the V2, my program, there's lectures there and I'm able to explain those things. And some people, you know, we learn a lot better when things are explained to us. But quick facts is also very important. And so I want you to memorize this book. And so I have to be responsible for helping you memorize this book. It's not just me selling it to you and saying, go off and live your life. No, I have to read it and I have to make sure that you know it. Okay. So get this book to help you on that process. It goes along with the free program, which is the trial. You can get into my trial actually tonight. If you don't have my full video lectures, get into the free trial. Make that a challenge for yourself this weekend. I won't be back on class until Monday again. So if you have not gotten into the free trial of my program, do it this weekend and you can watch my maternity lectures, my developmental milestones. All right. And do that. So when come to class on Monday, you can kind of have a feel for the difference between. Okay. I want you to be able to have a difference between what I say and what other people say. All right, because content is really where it's at. And it doesn't take you long to get the content. Get in there. Subscribe to this channel too if you want to get the notifications on when I go live. We have some great events coming up as well for our community builders. It's that time. We're almost at graduation season. That's always fun for us. I like this comment. She said, no other way out. There's no other way out. Memorize quick facts. Hi, Miss Regina. It was so good seeing you at the National Student Nurses Association convention in April. Hi, Jasmine. Definitely locked in and subscribed. Amazing. Okay, amazing. All right. So beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So that's it. Seasons. You won't be with me long, guys. So I just really cherish the time that we have here. Thank you so much for watching. I will see you on Monday. Catch me live at noon Eastern Standard Time. If you missed the live, make sure you watch the replay, because the questions, the content is really what makes the difference. And it's really going to make you a safe nurse. And it's going to show up one day at work, one unsuspecting day. You will remember, hey, if the doctor writes for albuterol, but I don't see a corticosteroid, maybe I could say, hey, can we get a corticosteroid on board PRN just in case? Things like that. And the intern will say, yeah, I think you might be right. Okay. And those are the moments that patients will thank you for later on. And they won't even know why they thank you. But they'll just say, you were a great nurse. It's because they have less symptoms. It's because they feel better at the end of your shift. And nursing is a ministry. So God bless you all. Good night.